A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 26 November 2024, Tuesday class. So as usual, we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Okay, as usual, we'll gather for physical puja. Let us compose our mind, then we shall begin. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Guansin Pusa, Namo Guansin Pusa, Namo Guansin Pusa, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya maja pama tathana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa puja onwards. Ganna sarapadithena dipena tamadang sida. Di loka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang gandha sambarayutena duppenahang sukhang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang vanna gandha gunupetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bhojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer marriage to all beings. May this marriage be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Puja. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, before we start, I think we need to introduce Sister Desi's daughter. Asha, so let us welcome Asha. So Asha, make yourself at home. So this is our typical Tuesday class. We have Thursday class, different again, then Sunday class. Basically, we have three sutra section where we do our Dhamma sharing. So tonight we are most happy to welcome you, and do make yourself at home. Anything you don't understand, please ask. So our typical Tuesday class session is, initially we had the puja, physical puja. Well, this is the main physical class where most Kayamita attend. The other one is Thursday class, that one because it's in Subang, less people, not that many. But Sunday class nowadays we do it Zoom. So if you want to learn the Dhamma, the teaching, Sunday class is the best, where we follow the Heart Sutta book that has all the essential Dhamma. This Tuesday class actually is meant for the Mahayana higher teaching. We call it the Lotus Flower Sutta. The wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. So we are going through this book, which will take quite a long time for us to complete. Then Thursday class also very unique, because it's based on the unique code that I came out with. The book is, you have given the copy? Unique code, yeah. Sister Desi, I heard from Jin how you want this book. You can have it. These are the very unique code that I share with Kayamita. There's a total 160 word code. They point towards the true mind. When you understand the true mind, you understand how to develop it, so that you can use it to cultivate, to realize the wisdom and the awakening. That's why it's called unique Dhamma code. Okay, with that, we will continue from where we stopped. So first session normally is half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So as usual, we are off the light. Then you all can just relax body and mind, maintain a good relaxed posture, then we can have our training of the mind to be aware. Awareness-based meditation means we train our mind to develop the inner awareness. To be aware means that conscious awareness moment without thought, before your thinking arise. At that moment when you are aware without the words, through your senses, pure awareness, like seeing things as they are, without the word, without the concept, without the verbalization, nothing, quiet inside. It's just the senses aware to see things as they are, to be with the moment, in pure awareness, to understand what is going on. So this awareness-based meditation is very simple when you understand. What you need to do is, you make use of the four support that I have taught you all to develop it. We call it the four support because it supports you to develop the inner awareness. So the first of the four support is relax body and mind, completely relax and feel at ease. No stress, nothing, just relax. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed. Then you can radiate a radiant smile if you want to enable you to relax better. Then after that, silence everything, maintain awareness. There is a second support. So relax is very easy. No need to do anything. Maintain a good mind. relax awareness. Just relax body and mind into every mind state that arises. Relax into it. Wherever there is any tension, tightness or stress within your body or facial muscle or mental condition, you just relax into it. Then maintaining awareness means just aware whatever arises through the senses, aware. Finish. No need to continue with the thinking, the mental proliferation. Just aware where there is a vibration that you are able to detect through your hearing consciousness. Just maintain awareness there. Then whatever tactile, also same, maintain awareness. And if you smell anything, same. The moment you are aware or you are conscious of that smell, no need to labor, just make a note of it, aware, finish. Then of course if your eye can see mental object or formation, just aware. No need to perceive to know what it is, just aware. Yeah. Then your thought process, when it arises, you are able to be aware, just aware. Yeah. Then relax and silent everything. Silent means no activity of the mind. Don't try to know, don't try to do. Because the doing and the knowing is always by the thought. So you just relax and maintain awareness. Then whatever arises, aware, finish. The third support is to stabilize the first two support. Stabilize it until the awareness nature become a part of you, until you become very stable in the ability to maintain this awareness. Technically, it's as long as you can. Sometimes we call it 24-hour awareness or continuous daily awareness or mindfulness. So this first three support already good enough to maintain the training. Then for those who are skillful, who have already developed the first three support, you are able to silence your mind and relax to maintain awareness and stay quiet and still. Then you can do the fourth support. The fourth support is trust, T-R-U-S-T. Trust your inner nature, your true nature, to develop the internal movement or meditative movement. So trust means you silence everything, stay at the heart area and maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware and stay with it. You can detect any heartbeat or vibration around your heart area. You just stay with it. The awareness and the heartbeat or vibration, they are like in harmony, in direct synchrony. Be aware, silent everything and just allow the awareness to be until the vibration or the heartbeat all become very quiet and very still. Until like there is no more thought, no more movement, like no mind at all. During that state, you will go through a state of transformation, or we call it the shift of consciousness, where the consciousness shifts and become very quiet, very still. Sometimes we call it mind entering sati, means the mind has become just aware, means the mundane mind and the true mind become one. Yeah. So during this time, your meditative mind will arise. In fact, this meditative mind is your true mind, your inner awareness nature, and is there all the time. without thought, it will be there. But most people are lost in thought, preoccupied in their thinking. That's why they are not able to develop the ability to be aware of that true mind. And that true mind is the mind that can develop the meditative understanding. It can allow you to see things as they are, to insight in the phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then when you can do that, you just stay there and allow the nature to develop the movement, the internal movement and activity. Then after that, your meditation will take off. It will become very different. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can continue with your awareness-based meditation to develop the stability of it and to develop the wisdom out of it. Okay, then I will let you meditate on your own. Once the 30 minutes is up, the bell will ring. Upon hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. But if you want to continue with the meditation, you can, no problem. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner peace and inner calmness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Ato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammāsambuddho vicca charana sampanno sugato lokavido notaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanaṃ Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Upanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Sakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakasango Ahuniyo Pahuniyo Dakiniyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then just relax, maintain awareness, and maintain some more attention. Then we will start the sharing again. We will continue from the page we stopped. Okay, I will read on. Each card is guarded by many servants. Here, the commentary says a servant's job is to serve and wait on others. In this context, servant is the metaphor for expedient dhammado, the paramitas of skillful means. One arrives at the other shore through skillful means. What are skillful means? What are servants? Skillful means are tactful and roundabout expedients that are agreeable to others. For example, one helps people out by doing some work for them. Even the heavenly devas, the heavenly demons, followers of non-Buddhist teaching, and those of the other two vehicle, means sound hearer and pachika Buddha vehicle, rely on the application of expedient wisdom. They follow the wisdom of skillful means in their cultivation. Therefore, in the Vimalakirti Nirdesha Sutta, it is said, they are all my servants, meaning they all serve me. Servants are like waiters who serve me and work for me. The word servant has another symbolic meaning. It also signifies the spiritual skill gained by the bodhisattva at the stage of realization. Bodhisattva at the stage of realization are bodhisattva who has realized the level of the 10 ground, means they have perfected themselves. These bodhisattvas have spiritual powers that can help them accomplish whatever they set their mind on. This spiritual power helps them realize their aspiration as if they are guided by many servants. This means that the great vehicle Dhamma requires many expedients to bring it to accomplishment or fulfillment. With these spiritual powers, you can accomplish anything. Having spiritual power is like having a lot of servants working for you. Let's explain this text in terms of the contemplation of the mind. View from the dimension of time. The nature of each thought has no before or after, no beginning or end. Seen from the dimension of space, our thought had no boundaries. Therefore, the nature of our every thought encompasses the truth of emptiness, the provisional truth and the ultimate truth, or the truth of the middle way. The word high in the line of sutra text, each card is high and wide, represent the three truths. They are emptiness, the provisional truth, and the middle way is supreme truth. Furthermore, our every thought in the present mind contains all the 10 Dhamma rhymes. 10 Dhamma rhymes, the rhyme of the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Pacheka Buddhas, Savaka or Sauhira, the gods or the Deva rhymes, the Asuras or the demon rhymes, then Manusa or the human rhyme, then we have the hell beings, the hungry ghosts, Peta rhyme, and the animals are not beyond a single thought. The word white in the line of the sutra text, each card is high and white represents the mind, for it encompasses the vastness of the 10 Dhamma rhyme. Our inherent virtue far exceed the number of grains of sand in the Ganges. So the cards are described as being adorned with many intertwining strands of jewels or jewels. Many indicates the profusion of inherent virtue, where jewels represent the essence of the inherent virtues. Intertwining imply that the virtues are inseparably linked. As to the mind, there is no Dhamma beyond our mind, and there is no mind beyond the Dhamma, it is said. So this one is very true. Eh? That's why when we talk about the sutta or the Dhamma, which is the truth, the teachings of the Buddha, it encompasses the whole existence, the whole universe. That's why we call it the Dhamma rhyme. Then, mind make a day. That's the reason why our universe that composed of the 31 planes of existence of all beings, they are mind make. That's why the Dhamma rhyme and the mind, it encompasses all. That's the reason why the 10 Dhamma rhyme, they are not apart from a single thought. They are from a single thought or ignorance. From there, it arises. So here the saying define it very well. As to the mind, there is no Dhamma that is beyond our mind. And there is no mind beyond the Dhamma rhyme. The Buddha taught all Dhammas in response to the mind of living beings. In the absence of their mind, what use would Dhamma be? Thus it is said, the Dhamma does not exist outside of mind, nor does the mind exist outside of the Dhamma. The mind is the Dhamma. Well, the Dhamma is the mind. So this can be comprehended quite easily. So when we talk about inanimate thing and animate things, the only difference is one is with the consciousness, the other one is without the consciousness, like our basic elements that we can come to see or perceive within the external phenomenal world. They are without mind. Whereas those that are with mind, they are beings within the 31 planes of existence. So, mind is very important. Without mind, nothing arises. Without mind, nothing exists. That's why the Buddha called it mind make a day. Everything arises from the mind. And the opening verse for Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind, here it refers to our mundane mind, our thinking mind. When mind arise, all things arise. So understanding this is prerequisite to understand life, existence. Yes, everything within the conditional, they are mind-make. And mind is the forerunner of everything. Yeah, from that pure awareness nature, the first thing to arise is the mind. Then with the first thought of ignorance, it conditions all the subsequent creation, leading until what we are now. That's why the Buddha said, inconceivable is the beginning of thought, or the first thought of ignorance, that condition birth and death. So that understanding is really very difficult. Unless you are Samasa Buddha, you cannot comprehend, because it traces back to the very beginning. Okay, I read on. Why does Buddhism refer to other religion as outside path? So this is a unique description, because in Mahayana, they use the Mandarin word Wai Tao, means external path that are not intrinsic or authentic. So they use the word Wai Tao. Tao means the path or the teaching. Wai is external, not within the original. So it is because they seek the Dhamma or the truth apart from the mind, hoping to find the Dhamma outside the mind. Since there is no Dhamma outside the mind encompasses both the mundane and the transcendental Dhamma. That's also the reason why if you study the sutta, especially Mahayana sutta, they always point towards the nature within. They always say, reverse the light, hui guang fan zao, and reflect within. Truth is within. Why seek it from outside? Because if you don't seek within, which is from your true nature, to see the manifestation and how all things arise, you cannot find truth. So to seek the Dhamma, we need to seek it from that nature, then trace it to the mind. That's why you have to start by understanding that you have a nature within that manifested the mundane mind, the thinking mind, which is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And that is the creative process. That's why there are four circle formation that I taught you all. From the source, the original nature. The first to arise from there is the pure awareness nature, which each and every living being of us, including us human being, we have them. Yeah. But we have lost touch of it, because since birth until now, we have been what they call distracted from it, or we have deviated from it. We forgot that there is that nature within. We get lost in the thinking, preoccupied with the thought process, we become heedless. So we entangle ourselves with the thinking, the thought process, And we believe that is the only instrument we have, and that is the only mind we have. And that one is the mundane conscious mind. Of course, it also has its subconscious and the unconscious when you are asleep or when you are not conscious. But then the source is completely beyond all this. That's why if you don't meditate following awareness-based meditation, you cannot understand all this. Okay, now I continue to read. Since there is no Dhamma outside the mind encompasses both mundane and transcendental Dhamma. This is figuratively represented in the text by the phrase encircled by railings. The mind can involve and respond to everything. It has the power to bring about a response. It can convey the teaching in all tones and languages. No sound or verbal teaching can be expressed beyond the mind. This concept is represented by the phrase surrounded by four sides, surrounded on four sides by hanging bells. The line, furthermore, each is covered with a canopy. Also refers to the mind. The mind is the most wondrous or wonderful among all phenomena. The mind encompasses all phenomena. Nothing is excluded from the mind. Because the mind covers all phenomena, it is represented by a canopy over it. Our mind can be categorized into two parts. The mind king, which is comprised of our eight consciousness and the mental factors. When the mind king contemplates, all the mental factors respond and follow its order. This is represented by the phrase decorated with various rare and precious jewels. When the sutras are explained in terms of contemplation of the mind, many people find it hard to understand. If you stop attending the lectures because you do not understand, then you will never come to understand. Everyone knows that there is a mind. But when the multi aspect of the mind are pointed out and explained, people no longer think that they understand the mind. These aspects are also represented by the phrase decorated with various rare and precious jewels. There are mental factors that work with the wholesome mind. The wholesome mind and the mental factors aid one another in unbroken succession, and this is represented by the sutra, by the phrase strung with jewel cords. The mental factors associated with the wholesome mind can produce limitless wisdom and achieve countless blessings and virtue. This is represented by the phrase from which flower tassels hang down. Furthermore, a single thought of the mind nature is replete with soft and pliant phenomena. It is also replete with lightness and ease. Not only is it replete with soft and pliant phenomena, it encompasses all phenomena which are infinitely interwoven, layer upon layer, in effortless interdependence, in a way that could never be fully articulated. A single thought of the mind nature has such a tremendous capability to produce infinitely layered and interdependence for phenomena. This is represented by the sutra line. every cot is furnished with elegantly mat. Take another look at the mind nature. It is both moving and unmoving or still. It can move and it can still remain still. Movement does not obstruct stillness, and stillness does not obstruct movements. Movement and stillness are one. They are non-duality. This is represented by the phrase, furnish with red cushion. So another way to understand all this is when we talk about movement, it is an activity. When movement stops, then there is stillness. So stillness and movement, they are actually one. They operate separately to deceive the living being, to arise phenomena. So what is a phenomena? Whatever perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So whether it's movement or stillness, our true awareness can still perceive it, pure awareness. And because of that, it is one. But people get distracted. That's why they call it by name. That's how duality comes to be. That's how word, concept, description arise. And these are what we call concept, not ultimate truth or reality. Okay, I'll read on. The wonderful wisdom of observation allows you to observe more deeply, for it reveals the principle of the mind nature. This is very true. So the wonderful wisdom of observation, that's why the silent mind that observes without thought, without conditioning, without views, opinion, belief system, it is just that nature, in complete silence, developing the silent observation of what is. That is to enable you to see things as they are, not according to what you think or what you perceive or what your views, opinion and conditioning tells you, interpret to you. So the pure, wonderful wisdom of observation from that nature, the silent mind, is very important. As I hear is written in the sutta, the wonderful wisdom of observation allows you to observe more deeply, for it reveals the principles of the mind's nature, the three universal characteristics, the ability of the mind to awaken, to insight into phenomena, to realize the truth. We are seeing things as they are. So these are all very important understanding. Then I read on. Then the sutta commentary continue. This correlates to each cart being yoked to the white ox. The ox has lustrous, clear skin that is soft and moist, signifying that the meritorious virtue of the inherent nature are subtle, wonderful, and inconceivable. Their skin is clean, meaning that the countless merits or meritorious virtue of the mind's nature are not mixed with affliction. This clear or cleanness represents the independence of our mind's nature from ignorance and affliction. So each ox having a beautiful body is a metaphor for the mind being replete with perfect interpenetration and self-mastery. The contemplation of the mind, a contemplation found in the perfect teaching, is the contemplative wisdom that inner penetrates perfectly without obstruction and can produce all manner of good roots. This is represented by the oxen being masculine. The perfect contemplation can also eradicate views and emotion, both of which are deluded thoughts. So now you understand why views and emotion are delusion. Yeah. So here it is very important to understand this phrase. Why? Through the perfect contemplation, you can eradicate all the views and emotion. Because all views and emotion before one become enlightened, they are wrong view. If they are not wrong view, it will not stir and create emotion. Yeah. So views that are confused or deluded, they stir and create emotion. That's why here it is mentioned both of which are deluded thought. Within and beyond the three rhyme means we have the sensual rhyme, the form rhyme, and the formless rhyme. So the three rhyme are represented by the oxen being strong. The perfect contemplation enters the non-duality of samadhi and wisdom. Wisdom is samadhi, and samadhi is wisdom. Wisdom and samadhi perfectly interpenetrate. This is represented by the line. The oxen walk with a steady, even yet. So without samadhi, there is no wisdom. And without wisdom, there is also no samadhi. Yeah. That's why the last factor of enlightenment, equanimity, is samadhi born of wisdom. The sixth enlightenment factor is samadhi, before the wisdom come in. But once the wisdom come in, it becomes equanimity. So equanimity means the wisdom is there to protect the mind from stirring, reacting, becoming emotional. That's why samadhi is called collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. But for cultivation, initially you need samadhi. The mind need to be stable with the awareness. That's why we develop the awareness-based meditation to stabilize the inner awareness, giving it a stability of awareness, the initial stability, which we call samadhi. We need samadhi so that in the midst of life, when we are living life, when we arise the consciousness, at the moment of sense experience, when you become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. At that moment of consciousness, if you don't have samadhi, your mind will stir. Your mind will react. Yeah. Especially after living life for so long, after going through life, going through existence. Sometimes, before you have the understanding and the wisdom, you easily panic or become fearful. Sometimes just one bad news make you panicky, fearful, worried, anxious. Then sometimes lightning strike, there is fear, because fear of the unknown. You don't understand what is going on. This shows that there is no samadhi, no stability of mind. When you have samadhi, it doesn't affect you. That's why you need samadhi in the midst of life, at the moment of sense experience, to see things as they are. Means the mind that has clarity, collected, unwavering, that can see things as they are. then whatever the movement and activity, you start to understand clearly how it arises and how it continues to evolve and how it passes away and ceases. That's why we have to see things as they are. It's moment of arising, sustaining, and passing away. If you can see that, you will insight in the phenomena, you will develop the wisdom straight away. Yeah. Because the ability to insight will awaken you the first universal characteristics of anicchang. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of it arises from that direct seeing. The moment of its arising, sustaining, and then passing away, you can see it with the silent mind there and then. Then you insight in the phenomena and you awaken. Everything is like that. The whole of nature, the whole of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are the same. So all this understanding is very important. Eh? So I will move on. The perfect contemplation naturally brings one to the other shore, means Nibbana, the unconditioned. This is represented by the phrase, as swiftly as the wind. This perfect contemplation dominates and commands all the mental factors. This is represented by the line, each god is guided by many servants. This has been an explanation of this passage of sutra text in terms of the principle of the contemplation of the mind. So here, contemplation of the mind is very profound, very deep in its meaning. There are various ways to explain the above text. Due to the limitation of time, Shinoh say, we will conclude the explanation here. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, 9:30 already. Yeah? Okay, maybe we read on a bit more. We go to the next part of the sutta. And why is this so? That great elder has limitless wealth and various treasure filled to overflowing. So here is on the section on explaining the source of the card. So the sutta says, and why is this so? Commentaries. We previously described each card as being high and wide, surrounded on four sides by hanging bells, covered with a canopy, decorated with various rare and precious jewels, and guided by many servants. What is the reason for this? What is the principle involved? Then the other part of the sutta is that greater elder, which represents the Buddha, has limitless wealth and various treasure filled to overflowing. The wealth here refers to Dhamma treasure and various Dhamma door taught by the Buddha. Various treasure is a metaphor for all Dhammas. In general, all dhammas can be encompassed by the six perfection of paramitas and the myriad practices. The six paramitas are giving, means dana, sila or upholding of precepts, kanti or patience, then viga or virya, then dhyan samadhi, and prajna, which is wisdom. So these six cannot be perfected just by reciting them. We cannot just learn to rattle off their names and think we have understood them. We must put them into practice. For example, in terms of giving, you can give. Give in the form of materialistic wealth. Then give of truth, Dhamma. Than the gift of fearlessness. But you have to do it. To uphold the precepts means to do no evil and practice every kind of good deeds. Patience is the most difficult to practice. Kanti. Giving is pretty easy and upholding precept is not too hard. But being patient is the hardest of all. Why? You have yet to realize that self is an empty notion. Since you have not yet done it, you cannot be patient. Patience means facing adversity calmly. When people treat you badly, take it as a good thing. But that is just being stupid, you object. People who study the Buddha Dharma should not be too clever. If you are too clever, you have gone overboard. You should free yourself to the notion of the self, of a self, of attachment to self, and of views of self. Throw the self away. You should wonder, before I was born, who am I? This is a good koan. Huh? Before you are born, who are you? Before my parents give birth to me, what was I doing? Now that I have been born, who am I? When I grew up, I assumed an identity based on a false name. In the blink of the eye, when I die, who will I become? If you always regard the self as empty and illusionary, then you can easily bear hardship. Even if people treat you poorly, it will not bother you at all. So this one is a bit deep and profound in its understanding. To actually have the ability not to hold on to the egoic entity is not easy. Unless you have realized and awakened, you will definitely believe this form and mind is you. You can never believe that this is not you. Yeah. Because it's not easy to break free from even the first fetters, sakkayadity, self-delusion. But you have to see clearly that this is not a permanent I-changing entity. That's why it's empty, not what you think. And it cannot be held onto, cling onto, grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. But then the problem is, within the conditioned world, the existing world, means our existential world, they identify this very, very deeply. The moment you are born, you are given a birth certificate. They give you a name. Then later on, they create document for you, identity card. Then when you need to travel after a certain age, they give you a passport. And you go to school. They take attendance. Your name appear again. And everything you do, you act, register and do with the entity that is given to you. They not only identify you as a human being, they even ask for your race, your religion, your belief system. That's how complicated the egoic mind build up its entity. And you cannot blame living beings for clinging on to this very strong ego or personality, because that civilization's conditioning to identify is so strong. Yeah. So, like Xuanhua put here, if you always regard the self as empty and illusionary, then you can easily bear hardship. But then in this world, how many can do it? They will never agree or believe that this is not them. Like I explained, this body. If you look at it, how can you say this is not me? I want to laugh, I laugh. I want to run, I run. I want to do anything, I can. Even if I want to commit suicide, I can. Why you say it's not me? But they didn't really understand the principle behind the human body. That's why you work in the hospital. You have been through a lot of experience in witnessing how people get paralyzed from the waist down, how they get stroke, and how it affects them. When all your, what they call senses, your organ, your bodily composition, they are in order, functioning, then you behave like a proper human being. That is as if you really exist. Because everything is functioning. But the moment paralysis happens, what happens is you ask him to stand up. The body doesn't listen to him anymore. It cannot stand up. You ask him to walk, he cannot walk anymore. So a very good analogy is like the car. The car is a very close analogy, but not a perfect match. You know a car is a car. Then you need a driver to operate it. But nowadays, we have the driverless autonomous vehicle. So maybe more close, the analogy. So if wireless, then it's supposed to operate and function by its own. But all these are condition arising entity, even autonomous vehicle. They need the internet at that speed. They need the IC, the design, the chip, the EV car component. Then only it can actually run. So likewise, as a human being, we need all these parts to be in working condition. Then with the consciousness trapped inside, the consciousness is like the driver that drive the car, that give instruction. So you say, walk, it will walk. Run, it will run. But limited by what? By your physical limits, means to what extent you can run and all those things. So the car is the same. If it's a proper car, you put in the petrol. Now no need petrol, EV, electric vehicle. You only need to charge it up. Then it will run. Then it can also manual. You want it to go fast, it go fast. You want it to slow down, speed, change, turn direction, make you turn or whatever. Whatever that is being allowable by its design and performance. So similarly, if let's say any part of our physical body is damaged or organ, or let's say the spinal cord, then that part doesn't listen to you anymore, doesn't operate anymore. It's just like the car in the engine. Without petrol, it doesn't move. Then if some of the vital element, like the starter, the piston, or whatever that is important for the running of the engine, if it doesn't operate because conditions are not there, then the car cannot run. Even Formula One driver you put inside, also it will not run. So the analogy is easier to understand. Then for EV car also same. If you don't charge up the battery, there is no energy to power the vehicle, and it also doesn't run. So what the Buddha is trying to let us understand is these are all condition arising entity or phenomena. It's not a permanent unchanging entity, it will remain forever. Unchanging, undamaging, means permanent, unchanging entity. No such thing. Where everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why we call it a condition world, existential world. Everything within the condition world are conditioned them. Condition arising phenomena. So if you have the pure awareness nature to insight in the phenomena, we can do this, then you can understand that all this empty and illusionary nature of the self can be realized, can be awakened to. Then you can live that way. Otherwise, it's just views or concept, idea. You say, we regard the self as empty and illusion. Are you going to try? No way. Yeah. Because there is this clinging, grasping. That's why without the penetrative awakening, living beings cannot do what they are supposed to realize, to have the wisdom to do it. Hmm. Okay, I read on a bit more, then we have to stop already. Huh? People who study Buddha Dharma cannot expect to understand the Buddha Dharma simply by listening. They must put it into practice. Take patience, for instance. If you eat candy and taste sweetness all day long, yet think you are practicing patience, you are fooling yourself. Patience can only be practiced during adversity. If you can go through the most trying ordeal as if nothing were the matter, then you understand what it means to be patient. If you have patience, you are able to take adversity in stride. There is the gist. That's the gist of patience. However, it's not easy to cultivate patience. You can do it. You have attained the wonderful benefits of the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Means you have perfected the understanding. Do not regard self as important. That self is going to die in the future. Why scramble to pursue fame and profit for it? You should see the notion of self as empty. There is no self. What if someone hits me? What if I do them? You ask. Think of it this way. In the past, I must have hit that person. So he is hitting me now. If I did not hit him in this life, then I must have hit him or scolded him in the previous life. Didn't I say this last summer? If you scold people in this life, you will be hit or even beaten up in the future life. If you beat people up in this life, you may be killed by them in the future life. If you cause trouble for people in this life, they will bother you in the future life. This is what the law of karma is, the law of cause and effect, and it's very severe. Then I think we stop here. Huh? But for karma, I must qualify. Huh? What Xianhua mentioned here is not person to person. Not this person do it to you, then you must do it back to that person. No, no, no. Karma is like that. Whatever suffering you cause to humanity, when there is causes and conditions for people to torment you and cause suffering back to you, it will manifest. It need not be the same person. Sometimes it can be because, like, when you have karmic debt, then that being, through its willpower, anger or hatred, they can will it to come back like Devadatta. Okay, we stop here. Then we have our 3 minutes of toilet break. Then we will continue the second session. Let me mark this page here. We are at page 674. Huh? Okay, second session is meditation reporting followed by Q&A. Huh? So tonight we have Brother Song who has volunteered to share. Huh?
Brother, Mrs. Yeah, Steele, all Karamita, 晚上好. Brother, I'll share 一点, 这个 experience. 哦. Okay, 我先讲一下, 去年我在, 马六甲 take care 我的母亲的时候, 我住在我的姐姐的家, and then so, 她的那个 condition 是, 她每天早上5点半, 我就要起床了, 哦, and then 我想要 lying on the bed， 可是不能够，他一次哦，哇，弄到你一直一定要起床
啊。OK，
等我起来了以后，我就在客厅，因为那边有个 armchair， 我就坐在那一边 relax 的这样坐住。说我的姐姐的客厅她有一个 alarm clock 哈、哇 ，so loud， you know，
yeah, yeah.
那个滴答滴答哦， yeah, yeah. 就在 morning 五点多哈，说、
对，
整个客厅就是滴答滴答这样子哈。然后我就坐在那一边 ，and then 它的里面哈、那个第二个的客厅里面，它有吊一个时钟，那个时钟也是滴答滴答哈，早上。说、整个 morning 哦，就两个，一个 alarm clock，
yeah, yeah,
一个那个时钟就滴答滴答，
yeah, 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 yeah.
很像那个 orchestra 这样，哇，很 loud，
对。
然后我就整个早上就这样坐住，每一天早上就在那边这样坐住，就听着那个滴答滴答，很 relax 的。然后我就慢慢的，然后我就睡下去了。Then after 1 hour 的时候，我就在很 deep 的 silence 里面，这样慢慢的
出来
。有时你会感觉到，哎。一下子你会觉得很像你不懂在哪里这样，
对对对，
你这样出来
，You don't know where you are， because that entity that egoic mind 不见去了，它真的不见去了 ，like you are nothing 了 ，there's nothing inside there， and you cannot like even have the whatever thought to tell you that you are so and so on， completely not inside there， you know?That's why when you go through that phase, you will really know that there is nobody inside there. All these are brain activity, consciousness, to delusion, the condition, the egoic consciousness, the sakyadity that transform into the egoic mind that create the entity. And from there,all your fear, worry, anxiety, emotion, everything arise. That's how the mundane mind entangle the living being. That's why without avijja, there is no sankhara. That's why the first two links, avijja, paccaya, sankhara, will become very clear to you. If there is nothing, then who are you? What are you? Then who get angry? Who get emotional? Who identify all this?But the difficulty is, in our existential world, there is life, there is existence. And to be here, you have to go through life, you have to go through existence. And to live life, you need to use the thought. That's why this thought, without the enlightenment or the wisdom or the awakening, it will be egoic. That is the big difference. That's why...Unless you have the Dhamma, you awaken, then you don't know how to use this mind. Then you will be entangled with the egoic consciousness, the karmic consciousness. But once the wisdom is there, once it liberates, it becomes different. It sees clearly that this form of mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. And this one is not me, not you, not what you think.And this one is a vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then you know how to live. Then you know how to make use of it. Like I always say, this is like a vehicle and a tool for you to use. So use it. Not to be deluded by it. Not to worry about it. Not to haveAnything that can give rise to sakyadity or self-delusion that condition your mental suffering and misery. So all these are the very profound understanding, the two aspects of the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. That's why it becomes like very difficult to comprehend. It's like very complicated.But for those who go through the real cultivation, once they come out of it, they awaken, they know, they see very clearly. That's why the true awakening, the real Dhamma, can understand life and live life. It's not the other type which become one-sided one. duality. That one is knowledge, holding on to knowledge, Dhamma knowledge, believing, thinking that you are awakened, you are enlightened. But you cannot leave it, because you don't understand what this thing is. So there is a big difference. Yeah. So what song go through is the first stage, which is very good. When you go very deep into the silence, the stillness, when you come out of it, from the deep, what they call state of awareness, nature, you come out and become conscious again. Means you come back to normal awareness, normal consciousness. Then as you come out, at the moment you come out, you will go through that phase where you realize that nature has nothing inside there. He know you, he know me. You are nothing, like there is no entity inside there. Then it manifests for cultivator to see and to understand. That's why my nature went through many times. Then I just laugh about it and understand it. It's not there. It's not what you think. So all this understanding, when they manifest, they unfold, it becomes very beautiful. Very good. Continue, huh?
So, 就每一天早上就是在这样的 condition 里面，就我差不多 every day morning， 我 after 1 hour 我出来，我就觉得，我不懂在哪里，也不懂是谁，这样子慢慢的出来。
Your entity is not there at all.
Then 过后就then 就有一天下午我去跟我的cousin 去吃 lunch 的时候就 during 那个 lunch 的时候我可以看到我们在讲话的时候我可以看到那个 thought 这样子 arise 出来就那个condition 是给我一个的这样的 understanding 然后就今年我在 Addition 那边做工然后那个Freddy 的房间里面 office 的房间里面他有一个 altar 放了一个观音跟那个Maitreya Buddha 所以我每一天早上去我都有做一个 simple 的 puja然后过后 recite 那个 Bodhisattva Wolf 然后最近每一次我早上一bowing 完了以后我一做不加的时候at the same time 我就可以听到外面我们的那个房间的外面就是我们做工的那个地方有一个时钟at the same time 我一做不加的时候我就听到又是
very clear
then 你不加完了以后它又没有了so every day 每一天我一做不加的时候它这个
Because you're silent during that time, your awareness become one. Then the awareness nature, that clarity, very clear. Then even distant sound, sometimes not only outside office, you can perceive that one very far away. You want to know, you can know. That's why that nature is like with the oneness nature, complete. Yeah. Then that nature is capable of understanding many things.That's why it is one with all things, actually. Yeah. When I went to that, what we call the sudden shift of consciousness when I was in Cameron Highlands, I remember the 1989 incident where my mind went into cessation for a moment, a glimpse of it. Then it come out of it. When it come out of it, I remember,The whole of the oneness is within my nature. I was within the oneness. Then, like, my mind is everywhere, you know, throughout the existence. You know. Then, that mind, very strange, there was a very, very distant phenomenon, not from our planet, not from our solar system. But that nature wants to hear, it can hear, it can understand, you know.And it can develop the understanding that nature is like that. And it moves very fast or not. When you completely silent everything without a center, spacious awareness without a center, I enter into that. No? That's why I can share with you all the two types of awareness or mindfulness. specific phenomenal awareness. The other one is spacious awareness without a center. Once there is no center, then it will not be specific phenomena, because you can direct your awareness to specific phenomena. But when you're completely silent and without any center, then that thing merges into the whole oneness. Then it becomes completely your nature and the environment become one. Not only the immediate environment, the whole oneness, the whole universe, the whole law of existence. It's like it expands until on its own one. No, my nature don't have to do anything or it's like that one. The moment is without a center, it is one with everything. That's why after that, I start to understand the Dhamma very fast. When I came out of it, all the Dhamma book or the truth that I heard, I immediately understood them. That everything become like very clear to me. That's the reason why at that time I reflected back. I say, how come before that all this is not so clear, not so penetratively clear? But how come after that you go through the cessation, it become like that? That's why I start to recall what the Buddha mentioned. The Dhamma is pachitang, can be realized by the wise Ishvara. The wise, when they realize it, they really understand it. That's why from that nature it arises. The silent mind, the pure awareness nature, that teaching is from there. That's why without the pure awareness nature, you cannot comprehend what I share and my words. But once you go through the cultivation, you go through the transformation, you will realize it yourself. That's why the Buddha make it very clear, is it? This Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipaseko, opanayiko. And then the final characteristic, pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, veditabo. We know he did. And that one is very powerful. That awakening is the same for all living beings. Once you realize it, no words on, you will understand what this thing is. Okay, you continue. So, yeah.
So, 那时每一天就是补觉的时候就滴答滴答。After 了, 又没有。 所以有一天我就想我要去 investigate。 到底这个滴答滴答是从哪里听到的 So the next day 我在做Pujah的时候 一面做Pujah 我 fully 的 aware 然后 我就 realize 那个滴答滴答是在我的 heart 这一边不是在你的耳朵 它是在你的 heart 这边 你是听到那个滴答滴答然后过后就不久有一天 过后有一天我在我哥哥的家跟我的姐姐讲话 所以我姐姐有时她讲话会很大声 Because she is what she is
所以她很大声的讲话
很像要吵架这样 然后我坐在那边 我要回答她的时候 我看到那个闪卡 Before 我 replies 我姐姐说 那个Sankara先 arise 上来 然后我一看到了以后 他就 cease 了以后 然后我就 like 没有给他 condition 因为我听到我的姐姐的讲话 弄到我很有agitated
yeah, 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 yeah.
那个Sankara 他就 react but 我没有去 follow 他 然后我就静下来了 一个 moment 来我又 like 跟着 effort of both part 这样子的 right speech 的在讲话
resolve it
so after that 一个礼拜了过后几天过后 我就 recall 这个 incident 不是 那个东西 因为那个时候我是没有 thought 去 analyze 它
correct,
but after 几天过后 我 recall 回这个 incident 我讲
you can contemplate
我 contemplate 我讲 这个就是那个 Sankara 来的 然后我就去我要去了解那个 understanding 然后就 like 他的 understanding 是 from 你的recall 就想哦每次 recite 那个Sankara Anichang Sankara Anatta、哦就我的 understanding 是 from 这个 thought 来去 recall 这个 sentence、But few days later amazing 的就是那个 understanding 哦，他自己的意思在 heart 这里是 unfold，就是 like 他让我看 understand 哦，这个 thought 里面是，就是不是你每次 share 的那些达达吗？就
是
啊，就是那个啊，就是
he will prompt you，
他让我看understand that 就是那个 thought 里面它是有 contents 的 然后这个 contents 就是你的 view and 你的 opinion它会 condition 你
to act or to have the intention to argue back or reply or what you can see them that's why the second right effort to prevent the arising is after your mindfulness has developedYour stability of the initial wisdom is already there. Then you can stop it from arising. Yeah, that is what the second right effort is all about. Yeah, the right effort to prevent it from arising. Because all this arises through causes and conditions. And mainly habitual tendency. Our habitual tendency. That's why sometimes they call the defilement by various names.The very basic one is kilesa. Kilesa means basic defilement. Then it becomes latent tendency. They give it another name, anusaya. When kilesa has become anusaya, means it's a latent tendency waiting for it to arise. It's like pain body like that. So there is a latent tendency for you to...like react or spring forward already. Then the third one is very powerful, asavak. Asavak like, it's inside there already, you know, like you already plan it or scheme it. Or so. The moment it touches you, like step on your tail or whatnot, it will shoot out, you know, like shooting out on asavak. That one is very strong or very powerful. That onebecome irrational already, that particular person, you cannot talk logic to him already. So from kilesa, it developed into anusaya, latent tendency, it become very latent inside there. But when it become asavak means, the moment there is condition, it will erupt very fast. And asavak is very strong, very, very strong.And that one very difficult to root out and deal with. You need Dhamma wisdom to root them out. Then all this, the second right effort to prevent it from arising, need awareness to see, then to observe the movement. That's why when the, what they call, the thing about to arise already, it haven't become transgression yet, understand not?Is still inside. Transgression means manifested out already. It's still at the mental level. So that one, when you have the awareness, you will see it. Then it cannot come out because your yonisomanaskara or wisdom at the moment of sense experience is there. Then it subsides. But initially, it's not from the heart because you have not stabilized it. Like Song say,is still at the thought level with the Dhamma. Sankara Anichang, Sankara Dukkang, Sankara Anatta, or Dhamma Anatta. Then from the contemplative wisdom, you still rationalize it to the thought process. That one also helps a bit. But not as powerful as Yonisoka Manasikara. Yonisoka Manasikara means you have developed it, stabilized it. Then it will prompt you.Sankara Anichang, Sankara Dukkang, then immediately exists. Then later on you realize it cannot arise really. Just like in the Satipatthana Sutta. Finally, you realize all this so-called mental hindrance, it will cease to be. It cannot arise really. Then you know, rooted out already. So all these are the teaching that is really taught by the Buddha. That's why it can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And this Dhamma is Pachetang. So song is going through that phase to developing the stability or understanding so that the second right effort can be applied. And then later on, all this will stabilize until it become like nothing disturb him anymore. It is so stable until you just smile and laugh at it. Like just now Xuan Hua's commentary, he mentioned one. There is no more what they call illusion. And he see the self as illusionary, unreal. And that one is all sakkayadity, self-delusion. And you see it very clearly. That's why that wisdom that has the understanding awaken the form and mind. And you can just be patient in the sense that you will laugh. Sometimes you don't need to reply. Like I used to say, if you want to say, yeah, I'm wrong. Then sometimes people thought, hey, you cultivator, no, you keep your precept, or how can you lie? If I say, I agree with what he say, that I'm wrong, did I lie? Did I lie? How can I lie? Wrong according to him. No. Because he think it is wrong. Wrong according to him. It's still right. In the sense that he wants to say that I am wrong or whatever it is, it's according to you. So it's not a problem. That's why you have the patience to come to terms with the reality. Then you can easily say, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Although you have not done anything wrong. But you will apologize. Then this is what he come to realize. The Noble Eightfold Path, when you apply it correctly, it helps you to resolve things amicably. That's why right speech, kind, appropriate, gentle, and appropriate speeches that brings about harmony, understanding, no more emotion or misunderstanding is very important. Sometimes you just apologize. I'm really sorry. Sorry for what happened. I think it's my mistake. I like to apologize. When you start with this, people will tone down. No matter how angry they may be, they look at you, they know you are different. It's okay, small thing. Or if it's an accident, car accident, or what you say, don't worry, I got my insurance. You can claim my insurance. The moment you say you can claim my insurance, means he will be very happy. Well, he think you are wrong. That's all. And he can claim your insurance. But it all depends on the police who inspect the thing. That's all. So let them decide. But you don't go to argue with him. That's all. So that is how you apply Noble Eightfold Path to resolve things amicably, not by irritating people, instigating people, arguing with people, and create negativity or speeches and action, and create a scene out of nothing. Then you get entangled, you become problematic. Then there is no more harmony. No more harmony means you cannot resolve it amicably. To resolve it amicably, you need wisdom, you need Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, appropriate right speech, right action, and right way of attending to things. These are not easy understanding and cultivation. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is a big field to cultivate. And it includes the four right efforts. All this you can only develop the understanding and training from life itself. That's why Dhamma is life. Life is Dhamma. And life is your greatest teacher. Without life, without existence, there is no learning of Dhamma. Well, everything within life, within existence, is mind-make. And mind is Dhamma. Dhamma is mind. They are two. intertwined, not separate. Mm. So all this understanding is very vital. Yeah, Song, you continue. Very good. Mm.
过后就是那个啊 ，understanding 他自己也是很像在 heart 这里 unfold。哎、嗯，你明白哦 ？Buddha 每次 share 的这些 Buddha Dharma 哦，他的那个 understanding、嗯、like dependent origination 哦、yeah. ，因为你看到那个 Monday Mind 那个 Sankara yeah, 怎样升起来、yeah. 哦，你就知道哦，这个是 dependent origination
yeah, yeah.
哦，然后你有 understanding， 你就没有 becoming、嗯、哦、嗯、哦你。来、like, ，就是这些 understanding， 还是慢慢慢慢的就这样子的 unfold。
是了。
连上个礼拜四的时候，阿曼苑哈就在那个啊、嗯 Thursday class 的时候，他有做 sharing， 他就讲到那个啊 four right effort 的时候、嗯嗯、，the moment 我一听到，我就想到，哎，因为我不是这个东西，不是 four right effort 来的咯。
哎呀呀！
其实我就那时候我讲到，哦，这个 four right 这个啊 four right effort、嗯、一定要有 mindfulness。
Yeah, yeah,
一定要有 understanding、
啊、
你才
能才
对、啊、你才能够做到、
啊、
对、嗯、我就觉得诶现在哦 Brother 还有那天你拜师你的 sharing、嗯、我也可以明白你在讲的是什么、嗯、
对
现在我发现到诶就这一个的 experience 过后我对 Buddha Dharma 的 understanding 是又不一样
的不一样了的
啊、
嗯、因为那个在深 deeper Dharma、啊can only be understood when you have stabilized the understanding yourself. That's why other people listen to that day they're sharing with Man Yuanwan. Man Yuanwan also knows now it's different because he can see that this four right effort is very important. That is the beginning. But 你听到又不一样了 你, you can relate. This is what the four right effort is all about. Then you see the Dhamma unfolding now.Because this four right effort actually got a lot of practice involved, a lot of dhamma involved, cultivation involved. That's why not until you reach that stage of cultivation, that level of mindfulness and awareness and the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, the understanding, all this cannot be understood. That's why the dhamma is pachetang, can only be realized by the wise each whatever, because the cultivator must go through it.To awaken to it. Otherwise, they cannot understand. That's why this teaching is not something you can learn on, not a knowledge. You have to have the understanding, the transformation. Then it awakens you, it transforms you, and you become. Then, whatever you listen, if that cultivator has gone through way beyond what you have cultivated, then every word he says is very meaningful, very deep in his understanding.Then some is beyond you until later. Then you will start to understand. That's why a lot of Kayamita told me, the more they listen to my sharing, sometimes after many years of cultivation, they listen again, different again. The understanding is different again. The unfolding is different. Because at that level, when you listen initially, you are not ready to comprehend and understandthe full range of explanation. Then as you cultivate, as you progress, you realize as you progress, you manage to understand deeper. Then as you progress, you manage to understand deeper. Until one day you realize, hey, all this is so clear now. Then you can relate to them. That's why I used to hint to Pamasuri and a lot of Kayamita, even in Shideo, I said,Wait till one day, maybe in another 3 to 4 years time or 5 years time, when more and more Kayamita understand, then we can have the real Dhamma sharing, where we can talk unending the sharing. Very beautiful. Then everybody understand each other. And all the understanding will start to unfold. But now the sharing has become so different, you will realize it. And most of the sharing nowadays is very deep, very penetrative, not like last time. Last time, more towards the initial provisional teaching, I had to impart the provisional understanding. Then later only I can go into the deeper aspect of cultivation when more and more Kayamita manage to progress to that level. That's why all this need cause the same condition for its unfolding, and it cannot just happen. So now you start to understand all this, which is very good. Continue, 很好。
So 过后，我就在 contemplate 的时候，来，就像 Brother 你讲的，哇，那你可以看到很多的 Dharma， 很多的 understanding， 你可以 link to each other， 你忽然间就可以明白，我讲哇。很多的东西可以 share， 很多的东西可以去 discuss。
Correct。
来，哇，那个布达达嘛就很像很 wide，
yeah， very extensive。It's like everything is related， is related to life。Life itself is the Dhamma， and life itself is the teaching， your greatest teacher. Then you start to understand, no? Then like the whole of the teaching, is one whole teaching.All interconnected, no? The Buddha's teaching. Oh. Then later on you will understand not only the Theravada teaching, no? The Mahayana teaching, the Bodhisattva way, they are so beautiful. No? That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. It will start to unfold and manifest. Then you will start to witness a lot more things. That's why this type of cultivation is so different from the traditionalTheravada provisional teaching, so different. Because Theravada provisional teaching, the mindfulness they do doesn't go to the nature, understand? Doesn't involve the gateway, and doesn't involve the transformation of the internal nature, the awareness nature, and they cannot illuminate the nature until the understanding is complete.Then only you can renounce samsara. The bohi mind that renounces samsara, even though samsara is not what people think, is so beautiful, so meaningful. Then the five stages of bohi mind development become very beautiful, very clear. That's why I like the description in the five stages of bohi mind development over the 10 grounds of bodhisattva.Cultivation, the Bodhisattva. But the Bodhisattva who 10 ground cultivation described in the various sutta, even the Surangama Sutta, they are very theoretical, I realize. Very theoretical. But the five stages of Bodhi mind development, they are very precise, very deep, and very full of wisdom.That's why very few people can teach the five stages of bodhi mind development. Because it can only be understood by those going the bodhisattva way. After you have detected the gateway, after you have actually developed the ability to go into the gateway and do the trust and let the whole nature evolve and become fully developed.Then from there, you continue your higher teaching cultivation through the gateway. And that phase is very long, very, very long. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very extensive. Then you keep on coming, you keep on developing the understanding through various civilizations, various time and space as you evolve. And all this unfolding,they become more and more complete, more and more complete, more and more extensive until you reach the whole of the perfection of it. Then, like the Sammasambuddha, everything is so clear to you. Like just now is mentioned, the Bodhisattva that has completed the training until the 10th stage of Bodhisattva cultivation, ground of cultivation or development.Once you reach that one, means you technically you have completed the training to become Sammasambuddha. You actually are Sammasambuddha, right? Except that there is one special birth that is predicted for you, that nature to arise during that time. Like Sakyamuni is 2600 years ago. That moment he arrived, he became the Sammasambuddha. But his nature is still there. He can still come. Although...no longer given that special status of a Sammasambuddha. But during that perfection, That's why you look at Kuan Yin, the four great beings, Ti Sang Wang Pusa, Pusian, Wen Su, they prefer to stay at their stage and do their work instead of going for the ultimate final Sama Samadhahun, that birth and all that. But to them, that is secondary, not important. But Sakyamuni Buddha one is different, but his lineage is like that. And he took the wisdom way and he developed it very fast. So his time is up at that time, that's why it arises. But he also very unique in his own way. And you need his arising for a lot of other things to happen. That's why all this, they have their causes and condition and understanding. And all this sharing will become more and more meaningful, more and more deep in its understanding, so that with the website or with the storage of the talk and other things, later on, more and more Kayamita, as they progress, they listen to all this again, then they will have a lot of joy. They will have a lot of Farsi singing, the Dhamma joy, the understanding and all things. Then it's like you can never believe that you can be so lucky to be born during this golden era, golden window, to receive all this teaching and understanding. Then with the yellow card, your whole of your future all taken care of. This is my mission requested by Maitreya. That's why this unique unfolding is very, very unique in this sense. Very good. So you'll summarize it. Since it's a minute.
Mindfulness 跟 understanding
很重要，
它是两个，很像一个side by side。
对对对。
如果你有很 stable 的 mindfulness， 但是你的 understanding 不 strong 的话，它你又不能够 penetrate。
对对对对。
所以其实我以前我在从去年开始，我就时常的可以看到那个 thought arise 它里面有 image 我们的 thought 是有 image 的等于说 brother 你的那个 second aspect 全部是
inside the mind consciousness
但是我一直不能够的去penetrate 那个 understanding until like this time
recently
连那个 understanding 它会自己的 unfold 一直 unfold
然后
我就明白了原来这些都是在 Buddha Dharma 在 brother 你每次的 sharing 里面所讲的这些teaching 的这些 sharing来的哇真的是without understanding without Buddha Dharma without mindfulness
做不到
哇我们真的就是只有 samsara 里面一直在birth and death birth and death 里面一直在轮回
六道轮回了
也只有这个Buddha Dharma 跟这个 mindfulness 我们才能够去 stop 这一个轮回然后从这个生死里面走出来所以希望所有的 Karmita 一定要珍惜我们的这个this line
这个 window
这个 window 那好好的去 cultivate 是可以的只要我们有 faith 我们你一直去做其实我也不知道我能够 progress 到这一边我只是每天
靠你的 faith 你的 faith 然后你做它自己 unfold 了
对对对
That's why I say 你有三样东西 sincerity faith perseverance 它就现出来了the cultivation then to add what you bring out today is very good you see Song mentioned importance of mindfulness and wisdom. Both must be there. So, but you look at the teaching, the Buddha always say heedfulness. Heedfulness is very important. But heedfulness, the heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So to be heedful is to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So when you are heedful, when you are ever mindful, constantly meditative means what? you develop the wisdom out of the mindfulness. So what he mentioned is, without mindfulness, you cannot develop the initial wisdom. You cannot develop the initial insight. You cannot develop the initial direct seeing, the understanding. So the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, cannot arise. Then when it arises, it need to be stabilized. To stabilize the wisdom, you need to contemplate, reflect, until very, very clear, until you can understand it, very stable, until you can live it. The phases of progress is like that. With mindfulness, you start, you develop the initial wisdom, then you contemplate to stabilize it. Then after that, your mindfulness will reach another level of stability, because as your wisdom increase, that mindfulness will reach another level. Otherwise, the mindfulness cannot go up already. That's why I used to say, your wisdom and consciousness must move together, side by side. Means, when your wisdom doesn't go up, your pure awareness, consciousness, movement cannot move far, because there is a limit. You cannot refine it already. You cannot develop the understanding to progress already. That's why both wisdom and the pure awareness nature, you cannot go ahead one and the other one lag behind. You know, you must go together. When you go together, you progress very fast. That's why in the early day, my wisdom was ahead of time. You remember before I met my last guy? My wisdom, the provisional teaching, wisdom and understanding, and my past cultivation, I have them. I connect and I inherit. But I haven't met my last guide. When he showed me the gateway, then when I fully connect and went in, then I inherited from my spiritual nature, then the whole thing came back to me. Then after that, I move very fast, because wisdom I already have in place. Then the moment the pure awareness come in, that's why it come in very fast. Then I understood it very fast on my own, without even him explaining to me what is this. We have of my vow, he need to let me know where that gateway is activated for me. And the moment I detected it, I realized it, my whole movement from outside, the trust I know how to do myself. Then when my internal open up and transform, within 9 months, the mundane mind collapse. After that, the whole thing become like very different, very different. Then the rest is history. That everything just happened, and everything just came back to me. Then I realized my consciousness starts to evolve and move very fast too, until it catch up with what I was, the stage I was at before this life. Means I went back to my state of understanding and the evolution of consciousness from the past. Very fast, I reached back there. Then from there, this life continue again, the cultivation. That's why wisdom and pure awareness, nature, must go together. But initially, you need mindfulness. With the mindfulness, develop stability, then wisdom arise, then contemplate, stabilize. Then this wisdom become different again. Then your understanding need to be stabilized again. Then as you develop more and more of this cultivation, your mindfulness also become more and more refined. Well, until you detect that nature, the fourth support, trust. And when you detect that one, you move another phase. You transform. You progress differently again. And your vibration, your energy, your consciousness, your awareness, all become very different. And this is the full cultivation that hardly anybody can have this understanding unless they also have their nature. Okay, I think we have to end already. 10:37, okay. Let us rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will share merits. Akasatta bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva Cirang rakan tu loka sasana etawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati tiya idang menya tinang hotu hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha ya bhavatu dhammiko imena punyam kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.